This is Shine On, the Health and Happiness Show, with new episodes every week on how to live well. Shine On is heard all over the world as a podcast, but it's heard first on the radio in New York's Hudson Valley. Hi, it's Casey. Thank you so much for tuning in to Shine On. All right, so it's the new year, la la la. We have to make changes, la la la. We have to lose weight and exercise more and drink water and all of that. So let's just do it, okay? This new book could help. It's called The Noom Mindset. Noom, N-O-O-M, Mindset. Make good health a habit. So Noom is a weight loss app. It's sort of like a lifestyle app. And I had it for a while back. It's a fine app. But they don't need me to help sell their app. So really, what this is all about is learning the science that helps you lose the weight. Dr. Andreas Michaelides, one of the chief psychologists at Noom, says, if you're struggling to break a habit, it's important that you know it's not because you're a failure. It's because you're working against an ingrained habit. Your brain, he writes, doesn't care that you've decided you don't like a habit anymore. Your brain isn't optimized for change. When you change a habit, you are essentially saying, I don't want my brain to operate in the way it's meant to operate. I choose inefficiency. Think about that. It's so easy for your brain to do today what it did yesterday. Neural pathways, those superhighways that our daily practices create. So it's really inefficient and makes your brain go a little bit haywire when you say, no, I'm going to do it different. So if you've tried and tried and tried and failed, that's normal. That's normal. Changing takes practice. Dr. Michaelides says it's going against your biology in many ways. So, he writes, how do you work against your very smart, very powerful brain? Ironically, you do it by using your very smart, very powerful brain. You fire up your executive function, your higher brain, because this is the place where you can change habits. I do love the science behind the change. You know I do. This book is for me. Learn the science, lose the weight, the Noom Mindset. All right, this might be my favorite page. Page 220 talks about cognitive fusion. It's a term for what happens when your thoughts trigger such strong emotions that you fuse with the thoughts and believe they are truths. Oh. Cognitive defusion is a method for disconnecting the thought from the feeling or emotion so you can see it more clearly and separate yourself from it. Dealing with the emotion behind a thought distortion as something separate from the thought itself takes the energy out of the thought and also validates the reason for the thought. Dr. Michaelides elaborates, arguing with a thought gives that thought energy. Instead, you can fully acknowledge the thought, and instead of taking it literally, consider the feeling attached to it. Confirm the feeling behind the thought as valid, and consider where that feeling might be coming from. When you're talking about making a diet change, oh, that's so important. Because you might get so emotional to think, what? Give up pizza night? Pizza night is your joy. It's the time you spend, you know, with the family having fun. And now you can't eat pizza. And what kind of a world can this be if you can't have pizza night? I don't know. Separate that. Yes, you deserve pizza night. Pizza night is great fun. Nobody wants to take pizza night away from you. Don't throw the baby out with the bathwater. Or the mozzarella out with the pizza box. I don't know. The Noom Mindset talks about all the behavioral strategies and psychological tricks that are out there, but they also say that mindfulness might just be the most powerful tool to pay attention to you living your life right now in this moment. Thich Nhat Hanh said, remember that there is only one important time, and that time is now. The present moment is the only time over which we have dominion. You do have dominion over this present moment. You do have dominion over the moment when you're stuffing a coffee cake into your face. Yes, your brain is working against you because you have a habit of stuffing the coffee cake in your face. But being present and in this moment and using your higher brain, which they go into in chapter 3, you can change your habits. So the Wheel of Life, Paul J. Meyer started this in the 1960s. You've seen it. I think I saw it first on Oprah years ago. You make a circle and then you cut it up into pie slices. It looks like a pizza to me. And then in the pie slices, you've got friends and family, significant other, fun and recreation, health, money, personal growth, physical environment, and career. This is the time to take a look at your pie slices and see where you need to put more of your attention. So I got to ask Dr. Andreas Michaelides about the Noom mindset and about the difference between a fixed mindset and a growth mindset.
Growth mindset is a mindset that allows you to interpret the world as a process of growing and evolving, versus a fixed mindset where your perception of yourself and events that take place are usually binary. So, for example, let's say if you fail at something that you're working on, whatever that might be, if you have a growth mindset, you might view that process of failure as a learning opportunity and take insight from that and going to it again and trying again because you believe you have the ability to potentially make a change, versus a fixed mindset where you might say that, like, hey, you know what, I'm not good at this. You know, it's more of like a binary, I'm good, I'm not good way to perceive the world.
So when we meet, you know, the work you're doing, where most of us grown adults, and we've come either one way or another, you know, we're either a grower or we're a fixed mindset kind of person. Is there a way for the, because I'm assuming growth mindset is where we can have more success, but how can we switch from being a fixed mindset to a growth mindset?
Yeah, that's a really good question, and growth mindset has been linked to more successful outcomes. You know, it's a matter of practicing a new way of thinking, and it's going to feel really, really uncomfortable to change your interpretation of events and your interpretation of yourself in relation to events. So first and foremost, it's actually kind of just understanding that these are two different dimensions that have solidified in our thinking throughout our whole entire lives. And it really starts with our upbringing. And so in order to cultivate it, I would say see it in action and understand these two dimensions and practice viewing things a little bit differently, reframing thoughts around different things. And then, you know, with the idea or the intention that practice will turn into, to some a thought process that comes a little bit easier.
What are behavior chains? You can help us master the forging or deconstructing of behavior chains.
Yes. So behavior chains are all the different steps that take place when it comes to any behavior that you do. So usually it starts with an event that activates or a trigger kind of event. Then it's the thought that comes from that event and the thought or the emotion. And then it's the action that follows that. And so we have all these behavior chains that happen all the time in many different areas of life because there are so many different areas of our lives and so many different triggers. And so understanding what your behavior chains are is an important first step into making changes that are more in line with your health journey.
Right, right, right. I get it. So I know, like, I'm coming home from work or a long day, mm-hmm. and I have good intentions to do healthy things, but if I'm super tired, if I don't exercise
yes.
right away, I'm not going to exercise. And it's like this little war that
sure.
goes on in my head, like, are you going to open the wine or are you going to put on your running shoes? Like, which is it, you know? And whatever which way I
right.
go sets off a whole chain of events as to how the entire evening will play out. So I get that. Now, at Noom, as you are the chief psychologist, you realize you're kind of like being puppet master here to a whole lot of brains. What does that feel like?
I definitely does not feel like I'm a puppet master for a whole lot of brains. It feels more more like somebody who helps educate people to be their own puppet masters of their own brains. You know, I think that's a lot more powerful. A lot of what I do is help figure out what is the right information to disseminate to our users. And essentially, it's the interpretation of that knowledge and how you apply that to your own life that is the powerful thing. So definitely don't feel like a puppet master in any way, shape, or form.
Yeah, like you wake up in the morning and you just know there are millions of people who are responding to your nudges, you know, your little appy nudges. And I appreciate that because I used the Noom app early on and I was so surprised at how simple and successful it was. Tell people, you know, the science behind it. What are you doing with this app?
We do a lot of different things. We're very grounded in science. We're grounded in experimentation. So what we try to do is use the best of science that we can get our hands on and try to validate it or translate it to the app or to a digital format. A lot of times what we find is that different papers that are run or different studies that are run in very different environments, and they don't always translate the same way. And so a lot of what we do at Noom is try to figure out what is the way that we can make the biggest impact. Our mission is to help people everywhere lead healthier lives through behavior change. We're only 15 to 20% of the way there, I think, with the product. So we got a lot to do.
Really? Why do you say only 15 to 25% of the way there? It feels like it's all done.
No, we are, you know, we've got a growth mindset, very much a growth mindset. And we, you know, we are always iterating. We're always trying to make it better and more impactful to help more and more people. And that's even, you know, a big part of why we decided to put out this book is so that we can disseminate the information to a wider audience. But no, definitely the product, we very much view it as an evolving product that changes over time. And so you said you tried Noom many, many years ago. You know, there will definitely be changes to the product today than it was back then, because we're always looking to make it better, better and better.
Yeah, no, I feel that. So is there like a Noom office where everybody just walks around with a real positive attitude eating celery sticks?
We eat a lot of, there's no food that is off limits, I would say. We do have an office. Our headquarters are in Manhattan, and we do eat all different kinds of foods. And, you know, we also expect our users to be able to eat all different kinds of foods as well. And that includes, you know, our red foods and green foods and yellow foods as well. But yeah, our headquarters are in Manhattan.
Good to know he's not far away if we need him. Dr. Andreas Michaelides, one of the leading doctors behind the Noom app and one of the leading contributors to the book, The Noom Mindset, Learn the Science, Lose the Weight. I'm enjoying this very much. We've got more advice coming up from the Mayo Clinic. You know, the Mayo Clinic is 100 years old, and they have the third edition of their diet book out now. Advice from their doctor coming up. But first, you get advice from me. Hi, it's Casey. Thank you so much for tuning in to Shine On. So over the New Year's weekend, I did a couple of Zooms. We used to have full online retreats, you know, during 2020, 2021, but now people have more options. They're out in the world. So we just had a couple of Zooms, one to prepare for the new year and another to plan for the new year. And in the planning Zoom, I shared my foundation for a happy, healthy life. I don't always get it perfect, of course. Work in progress 100%. But I have what I call my MEVPEVs. Every day, I try to check off as many of these boxes as I can. Meditation, exercise, visualization, prayer, pampering, eat vegetables, sleep. For me, prioritizing my MEVPEVs, trying to do as many of these things each day as I can, keeps the vibration high. Meditation, exercise, visualization. That's your MEV. Then there's two P's, prayer and pampering. You know, the mani-pedis, the massages, the facials. It's important. Then eat vegetables. That's your EV. Sleep, MEVPEVs. If you can start each day with that list and say to yourself, when will I meditate? When will I exercise? When will I visualize? When's prayer time? Can I get some pampering in? When am I eating vegetables? And is sleep a priority for today? When you can check off all those boxes, you've had a very good day. And while I'm filling your ear with Casey-isms, let me just share one more thought, and that is to pre-pave your self-care. Put items on the calendar that are not movable. Plan in advance when you're going to have your massage, your mani-pedi, your facial, or your bubble bath, or your walk in the woods. Like, these things really have to be scheduled, and then you live your life around them. I'm so grateful, I know you've heard me say this before, that the monthly massage is on the calendar. I don't leave my monthly appointment until I have another appointment in the books. So this week, I had a super busy day at work. I mean, super busy day at work. There was a lot of work to be done, and I had 3 big interviews. And I'm being shadowed by an intern, a college student. So not only am I doing a lot of work, but I'm explaining to her all the work I'm doing, which makes it twice as long. I don't mind, I'm not complaining, but it was a super long day at work. And in the back of my head, there was that little voice that said, just keep breathing, just stay focused. You'll be with the chicken soon. And later that afternoon, I find myself wandering around the backyard, a little bit drained, a little bit dazed, and I had my phone in my back pocket because I just felt like, take your phone out in the backyard with the chickens just in case you're missing something, you're forgetting something. And I got a text on my phone from my massage therapist, Allison, and she's like, are you on your way? I'd forgotten my massage. In my super busy, very long day, I'd forgotten that I had a massage. On the day when I thought I can't do one more thing, there was already built into my day a de-stress hour and a half. And I wrote back, I'm on my way. Thankfully, the salt room is very near my home. And I had a wonderful massage, absolutely exactly what I needed. So as we set our goals for the new year and we heap in as much self-care as we can, get some appointments on the calendar. And if you can't do a massage every month, you can schedule 2 or 3 for the year, totally. If you can't get a pedicure every month, I don't get there every month. But I call ahead and get appointments on the calendar. Prioritize self-care. Prioritize self-care. And then later that night, after I had my massage, my girlfriend called me and she was so stressed out, freaking out. She had a difficult day at work and she says, please, can I vent? And I'm like, go ahead. You have my complete attention. And I was able to give her everything I had because I had been replenished. And I thought to myself, if I hadn't had my massage, if I hadn't had my time to de-stress, and if I saw that phone ring right around dinner time, I would have said, oh, I'm going to let that go to voicemail because I don't have anything in me. And that's why we do self-care. Right? Yes, it's for ourselves, but it's also so we can be our best to help other people. I do believe my homily is just about over. Now, if you are thinking about a diet change for the new year, go with the best and the most trusted. Dr. Donald Hensrud is a Mayo Clinic physician specializing in nutrition and the editor of the Mayo Clinic Diet.
The Mayo Clinic has been around for over 100 years. It was started literally in a cornfield on the prairie, and the founders, the Mayo brothers, started something, the first group practice in the United States. We're all about teamwork here, and we're about helping people with whatever medical problem they have. In addition, providing people with credible and accurate health information.
When you say there's a new third edition Mayo Clinic diet, you have my attention. It's the third edition, so obviously there's been changes and updates. What's new?
Well, if you get it right the first time, the fundamental premises shouldn't need to change. And we think we did. It's been around for over a decade. The new part of this are helping people implement it and customize it to their own preferences. We have new meal plans. We have the Mediterranean Mayo Clinic diet. We have a vegetarian Mayo Clinic diet. We have a high protein Mayo Clinic diet and a healthy keto Mayo Clinic diet, along with recipes within each of these meal plans. So it's very practical. It helps people adjust their plan to their own taste preferences.
Often, people just avoid the word diet completely, but you just said it like 4 or 5 times. What's the thinking behind that?
The Mayo Clinic diet, although it's called the diet, is more than a diet. It's an evidence-based lifestyle change program. The reason we chose the term diet was two reasons. One is that's how people search for weight management programs, and so we wanted to meet people where they were at. The second reason is there have been so-called Mayo Clinic diets around since the 1940s. When we came out with this over a decade ago, we put our stake in the sand and said this is the real Mayo Clinic diet. But once again, it's a lifestyle change program. We're in it for the long haul with people.
All right. What do I have to change?
Well, one of the things people may need to change are habits. And so the Mayo Clinic diet is divided up into two phases, lose it and live it. The lose it phase is a two-week jumpstart phase. We know people want to lose weight quickly. Tomorrow isn't soon enough. So we throw the kitchen sink at people with changing habits. Now, all of these habits are safe and effective. Eating more fruits and vegetables, eating breakfast, moving 30 minutes a day. The toughest habit for people is no eating while watching TV, and you can only watch as much TV as the amount of time you're spending in physical activity. So we're not telling people not to watch TV, but just be active if you're doing it. When people put these habits together that, again, are safe and effective, they can expect to lose 6 to 10 pounds in 2 weeks. That's too quick long-term. But then they transition to the live it phase, where people take these habits, turn them into long-term habits or lifestyle changes. They can continue to manage their weight, improve their health, and most importantly, feel better while they're doing it.
So if I'm going to sit on the couch for 90 minutes a night, I need 90 minutes of physical activity in my day?
That's correct.
All right, I'm telling you right now, I'm going to watch less TV.
You know, once people get into it, and what our experience is in the lose it phase, people enter into it, and you're right. Their first reaction is, oh, I can't do that. Then they start doing it, and they see the weight coming off. They feel better, and it's not as bad as what they think. It's just a matter of tweaking things initially, changing those habits, and it can be very rewarding in many different ways.
I couldn't agree with that more. But nothing beats feeling good. Nothing beats feeling good. So now I have to ask you, Doctor, what did you have for breakfast this morning?
I had a whole grain cereal for breakfast. My lunch is going to be a salad with some toasted sunflower seeds, some Parmesan cheese and the different vegetables, a little olive oil and vinegar, and two pieces of fruit and a whole grain baguette, and I'm looking forward to it.
When do you treat yourself? Is there treating with the Mayo Clinic diet? Can we have that bowl of ice cream or whatever?
There is. At the top of the Mayo Clinic healthy weight pyramid are sweets and treats. We realize nobody's perfect. Now, we can't have a half gallon of ice cream every day. That isn't going to help us with our weight or our health. But no food is off limits. We focus on generous amounts of fresh or frozen fruits and vegetables because they're low in what we call calorie density. There's the same amount of calories in 1 1/3 sticks of butter as there is in 10 or 11 heads of lettuce or 35 cups of green beans. Now, nobody is going to eat that, but it's a positive message. People don't have to feel limited. If they're going to choose treats such as red meat, ice cream, chocolate, go for quality instead of quantity. Keep portion size down, and if you fill up on other things, a little bit of a high-quality treat can go a long way.
Dr. Donald Hensrud, the Mayo Clinic diet. And we know from listening to Dr. Andreas Michaelides that when you try to change your habits, you have to work around your brain, because your brain wants to do today what it did yesterday. But it can be done. Practice. Our thought for the day comes from Stephen Covey, who said, be patient with yourself. Self-growth is tender, it's holy ground, and there's no greater investment. Shine on. You've been listening to Shine On, the Health and Happiness Show, with new episodes every week. It's your time to shine on.